stop the presses. Oh, man, everything we thought we knew is wrong. The World Net Daily was named America's second most trustworthy news source. This is a major award. It's a major award. This is from Wonkett by Dr. Zoom, reporting on this at wonkett.com. Really, it's the recognition by their peers that matters most. It looks like we may have to stop slagging so much on Wingnut Daily, guys. It turns out they were named one of America's most trustworthy news sources by an independent news organization that carefully ranks news organizations for their reliability, accuracy, quality, balance, and reach. WND came in second only to The Drudge Report. And its trustworthiness was determined to be greater than other honorees such as The Blaze, Ghost Andrew Breitbart, Fox News, Newsbusters, The Weekly Standard, and number 8, something called The Wall Street Journal. The award from Discerning Times singled out WND for its continual commitment to the truth and top-notch journalistic practices. The citation doesn't specify which of WND's many outstanding journalistic endeavors earned the honor, because it's more of an overall bestness of excellentosity thing, kind of. But we're betting it was their expose of Barack Obama's gay sexing of Islam, or possibly their post-election discovery of a clever loophole in the Constitution that people could have nullified Barack Obama's re-election if everybody just believed hard enough. The Discerning Time, which granted these prestigious awards, is a webpage for a Washington State freebie newspaper, which bills itself as, quote, an independent Christian newspaper, which strives to reflect the love of Christ. Among its guiding principles, each supported by a Bible verse, is the promise that, quote, the news reported results from the fullest research possible. That particular passage has this admirable guidance for journalism. Quote, then shalt thou inquire, and make search, and ask diligently, which is good, right? Deuteronomy 13:14. Well, you know, I just happen to have this handy-dandy Bible that I carry around in my back pocket in case somebody tries to shoot me in the ass. So let's see here. Let's look at this. Deuteronomy 13:14. This is the quote. But good journalism there in the Bible. It does say, it says, yeah, then shalt thou inquire and make search and ask diligently, and behold, if it be the truth and the thing certain that such abomination is wrought among you, thou shalt surely smite the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, destroying it utterly, and all that is therein, and the cattle thereof, with the edge of the sword. And thou shalt gather all of the spoil of it into the midst of the street thereof, and shall burn it with fire, the city and all the spoil thereof wit. For the Lord thy God has said, and it shall be in a heap forever, and it shall not be built again. Unquote. Deuteronomy 13:14. There you go. So, yeah, that award's starting to make a little more sense now. There you go.
It's like the Hitler Humanitarian.
They're awesome. All right. Now, if the internet's working, we got a show. So let's see.
This portion of the Final Edition Radio Hour is sponsored by the Non-Rational Rifle Association.
Wayne LaPierre is a murderer. That's what the media screech. Now they're even screeching that Wayne LaPierre is the man who's really responsible for Trayvon Martin's tragic death. Can you believe these people? We say our beloved executive VP is a legendary American. We say the 600,000 tragic gun deaths which have occurred on his watch are actually the greatest gift he could have given our great nation. Wayne says,
the world is a tough place, and America is a tough country. A country whose constitution enshrines forever the inalienable right of every citizen to stand his ground and kill if he feels threatened. A country of tough, tough winners. People too stupid to carry guns to defend themselves or too weak to stand their ground if they do are, it's tough to say, but a tough country can take it, losers. Their tragic deaths prove that their lives had nothing to contribute to our great nation.
Remember, guns don't kill people. God kills people. Guns are God's way of eliminating the weak. Every gun death in America makes us stronger. Be glad, not sad, America, that somewhere in this great nation right now, another loser is eating lead.
The Non-Rational Rifle Association. We are America's lizard brain.
We take you now to Federal Hall, New York City, in the year 1789.
So that's our First Amendment to the Constitution, allowing homophobic extremists to harass people at military funerals. What's next?
The Second Amendment, the right of any person at any time to own any weapon whatsoever.
Mr. Speaker, we just had revolution precisely so that someday anyone who walks into a college or movie theater or mall food court or Amish schoolhouse or even a kindergarten could possess the most state-of-the-art military hardware and quickly kill innocent strangers in truly massive numbers.
Well, obviously, we all want to make that possible. But what about convicted felons buying guns?
The law may require background checks, but demented psychopaths can still buy whatever they want at a gun show.
That is the original intent of we, the Founding Fathers.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Mr. Speaker, I do raise a concern. This amendment may expose the true intent of our new nation.
You mean to design a government specifically for the killing of children?
You'd be surprised how many people are not altogether on board with that.
So if we want to make sure demented imbeciles can always get a hold of fast and portable firearms, and obviously that's why we're all here.
Oh, yes, yes. certainly is.
Then we need sacrifice other proposed amendments. Just for appearance's sake.
But we already rewrote the Declaration of Independence, so it didn't say life, liberty, and the seared flesh of boys.
Even so, look at our proposed 11th Amendment, and I quote, "If there be habits that will make the environment unlivable for future generations, Congress shall stand by with their thumb up their posterior and pretend everything is copacetic." Unquote. Maybe we should drop that one.
Or how about the 12th Amendment? And I quote, "Children whose parents go away to jail on drug charges should consider selling their bodies to privateers." Unquote.
Yes. Well, we'll sacrifice those two for now so we can get away with the gun thing.
But how will people otherwise know those were our original intent?
I believe over time, intelligent people shall divine and share in the Founding Fathers' violent hatred of children. Let's just move on to the Fourth Amendment. The right against unreasonable search and seizure. Everyone knows that's supposed to be sarcastic, right?
Well, come on.
Torn from a world of tyrants beneath this western sky, we formed a new dominion, a land of liberty. The world shall own, we're masters here, then hasten on the day. Huzzah, 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 huzzah for free America.
This portion of the Final Edition Radio Hour is sponsored by the NRA's Armed Kindergarten Initiative.
Do you live in fear some armed psychopath is going to shoot up your little one's school? You should. Thanks to anti-gun legislation, school shootings now occur 23.7 times a week somewhere in the U.S. Let's teach our little ones how to defend themselves. So next time some crazed pervert bursts through that homeroom door, he'll meet a hail of first-grade gunfire. Remember, an armed kindergarten is a safe kindergarten.
This has been a message from the Non-Rational Rifle Association's campaign for safe classrooms, homerooms, and daycare.
Once in a generation, a movie comes along that defines a generation. Discover the world of alternative reality as two men set out on the road. They're rejected. They're outnumbered. They're looking for America, and they can't find it anywhere. They're Republicans, or as they like to be known, writers.
Where are you boys heading?
We're looking for America, officer.
Oh, well, you can find that almost anywhere. I know there's lots of Americans in New York City.
New York isn't America.
You sure? It's one of the oldest parts of the country.
It's not America.
Okay, well, you know, America started in Massachusetts.
That's not America either.
Really? Well, Vermont.
Look, just forget about New England altogether.
This summer, get your motor running and head out on the highway with Easy Rider.
Born to be white.
So nowhere on the West Coast, huh?
No.
Minnesota? Michigan?
No.
Well, how about Washington, D.C.? It's actually the capital of...
No!
Freedom, man. That's what it's all about. Free to make other people pray the way you want. Free to pay workers less than minimum wage. And free to choose who gets to be free.
Look, maybe I should just try some part of America that, like, tried to secede from America at some point.
Atlanta?
Ted Turner came from Atlanta, right? He's married to Jane Fonda.
It's not easy being an easy writer.
From the focus group that brought you The Bucket List comes the heartwarming story of two men.
I don't like you. You have no earthly soul.
With nothing left to lose and no time left not to lose it.
I'm going to die soon. So it has been foretold. I don't feel like I've even lived yet. You know, white man, my master told me make bucket list things I want do before you kick the bucket. My organs are put bucket for sacrifice to angry gods. Let's do it!
Join Jack Nicholson.
I'm not sure I should smoke this.
And rising star Buluk Chabtan.
Why they call these Philly cheesesteaks?
As they make the most of our last days in the Mayan Bucket List. Watch them make a pyramid out of sacrificial skulls.
Excellent.
Yell fire in a crowded gun shop.
Fire!
Out the president of Uganda.
Out!
Enjoy maize on the cob.
A little butter.
Get a body wax. Skydive. Reconnect with an estranged daughter.
Never really liked you.
Built an intergalactic spirit transfer machine. Count icebergs.
One, two, three.
And so much more.
Next, I want my new calendar.
The Mayan Bucket List. The last Hollywood hit you'll ever see.
You can't handle next year.
WBEZ, Chicago.
It's a new world. The factories are gone. While this isn't your father's Oldsmobile, they're not building Oldsmobiles anymore, so even if your father hadn't left you when you were 8 and made you spend your life writing poetry about the trauma, he wouldn't even have an Oldsmobile. I'm Ira Glass, and today on our show, It's a New World, stories of people making do in the new economy. Act 1, Our New Thing. Diantha Stasis Friedman reports from Brooklyn.
Sarah Sparrow Biasetti is dressing for a meeting, or as she likes to call it, a meet. She carefully adjusts her wooden beaded necklace.
My friend curated a video retrospective of the 1970s, and I just fell in love with them. I think of them as like little individual bullets of vegetable life. I'd love to wear one of my skirts today. They're made from recycled fabrics picked up at the Goodwill. There's this maker in Bushwick, really interesting example of reuse, but we're on our bikes today, so I guess not.
We ride over to Third Eye, a shop selling handcrafted objects in Fort Greene. Sarah doesn't like to shake hands. She says it's an artifact of the days when people had to prove to enemies they were unarmed. So instead, she greets the owner, Ian Danforth, with a hug.
Great to see you. The shop is looking so great.
Thanks.
These wooden briefcases, they're gorgeous. I love the irony.
Thanks.
But aren't they, like, vulnerable to fire?
Well, yeah, I mean, they're made of wood, so I guess...
Wow, did you see what happened to that tea shop on Adelphi Street? Totally burned out.
Yeah, I heard, so...
So listen, my friends and I, we have this art collective thing, but we're also getting into personal wellness. We try to secure spaces, you know, make them stable in a kind of energetic and physical way. This is such an energetic space. It would be a shame if something happened to it.
Back at what she calls her office, the back room of a food co-op called Kai Organics, Sarah talks to me about her vision of entrepreneurship.
It's kind of a free-form business model where we don't so much work in traditional flows of capital from consumer to producer, but we insert ourselves into the process in interesting and sometimes transgressive ways. I like to think of it as just our thing.
For example, last year, Sarah and her partners, mostly art school graduates and indie filmmakers who didn't get the grants they wanted on Kickstarter, started talking to the many Starbucks stores now in Brooklyn. They came up with a novel plan. The stores would hire avatars, people who draw no espresso shots, who don't actually show up for work, but are nonetheless paid.
We think of it as a victimless performance.
That's Michael Wolkover, Sarah's partner in life and business. He's tall, with a bushy beard and a ubiquitous bicycling cap.
In one state of being, I'm working at Starbucks, doing the 8-hour shift, getting paid. In another, more physical state, I'm out making my images of the waterfront. Or maybe I'm down at the bar.
Michael and Sarah head up one of the many collectives, or crews, of artists, writers, and liberal arts majors who came to Brooklyn to pursue their muse and found that the arts weren't what they once were. Instead, they found a way to insert themselves into a stream of more traditional kinds of commerce. To dip the beak, as they like to say.
There are a lot of inefficiencies in the traditional business model, a lot of places where stuff falls off of trucks, and we happen to know a lot of bicyclists who follow trucks around.
Things are going well for Sarah and Michael and their friends, especially now that they've resolved a conflict with another group based out of a weaving workshop. Both groups were vying for opportunity along the gentrifying Atlantic Avenue. Fortunately, that conflict was resolved when the weaving workshop burned to the ground, killing two. For now, Sarah and Michael are happy with where things are.
We're not a traditional hidebound business. We let people find their own way, create their own models, whatever feeds their spirit. All we care about is how thick the envelope is at the end of the week. And of course, if people are growing.
Funny. I used to think I could make a living just by being myself, but now, forget about it.
Yeah.
Diantha Stasis Friedman in Brooklyn. Next up, a guy who hits people over the head and takes things from them. Stay with us.
Want to win an election? Buy it on eBay.
I know.
Whether it's a national primary or a statewide recall, Election Bay has the votes you need, and the highest bidder wins.
Awesome! I'm the mayor of Duluth!
And you don't even live there!
I never will!
Plus, thanks to the Supreme Court, your bids are completely anonymous. Who really bought the freeholder election in Lace County, New Jersey? Well, I'll tell you who bought it. Eat me. That's who bought it.
I'm the one who bought it. Maybe.
Oh, see it, bid it, win it. On Election Bay.
Election Bay.
You're listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour. And now, episode 12 of Ken Burns'
but flame war.
Dearest Yelp, Thursday night, my companions and I ventured forth to the spaghetti boat on Route 12. As a cloud of mid-level Italian cooking benumbed our senses, a hostess named Aisha led us to a table that was, at once, both too close and too far from the bathroom. The waitress gave us menus after an interminable 7 minutes, then returned too soon for our order. We panicked that she would vanish into the fog if we betrayed any hesitation, made hasty, unready choices. Choices we would regret. She was also late with our soda. I give the spaghetti bowl only 1 star, and fear I shall not be home by Christmas. Signed, Beauregard 26.
To my Yelp followers, my own experience at the spaghetti boat has been of a different complexion than for the aforeseen Beauregard 26. I find the salads fresh, the pasta endearing, and the breadsticks unlimited. Do not be misled by the traitorous and deceitful musings of Beauregard 26, who is taking spiteful revenge for perceived minor slights, and who reacted with resentment and dysphoria upon learning he was not the center of the spaghetti boat universe, and who is also a gaywad. I give spaghetti boat 5 stars. Sincerely, Ratfart 3.
To all on Yelp who hear my cries, I impart a dire warning that the supposed Ratfart 3, far from being an objective arbiter, is in fact a spaghetti boat employee, an ill-bred and churlish knave who attempted to clear our table while we still lingered in discussion of profound import. And who uses the word gaywad anymore? How old are you? With great concern, Beauregard 26.
Oh, Yelp. Beauregard 26 cried like a young maiden of first blush when informed we no longer serve the bloomin' onion. He is a soft product of private schooling and would not last one day as a waiter, and is still a gaywad. And I shall back that judgment with steel. Eternally, Ratfart 3.
Yelp, my love. I have created 114 throwaway online identities, and they have all given this restaurant 1 star. I am Beauregard 26. P.S. If Ratfart and I truly are on opposite sides of this great civil conflagration, why do we both have southern accents?
That was episode 12 of Ken Burns' The Flame Wars. Tune in for episode 13, when Ratfart 3 delivers the immortal response that sets off the final battle.
Gaywad, 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 gaywad.
You're listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour.
A message from Instagram.
Thousands of people have contacted Instagram recently because their pictures may legally turn up in advertising. Users who are concerned about this should be assured on one crucial point. Your pictures are not that attractive. Seriously, the odds are pretty good the group photo of your incompetent softball team and your drunken self-portraiture at the Cherry Hill TGI Fridays are probably not showing up in any promotional material. For example, Mr. Vance Peterson of Binghamton, New York said he quit our service to preserve his privacy. Mr. Peterson, if it's any comfort, we at Instagram have decided you have an utterly forgettable set of features. For a while there, we thought perhaps all your pictures were just out of focus. But no, that's just you. And to Mrs. Myra Softridge, who is concerned about the hundreds of photos of her baby. Mrs. Softridge, we presume your little girl has many delightful qualities that photography does not happen to capture. But rest assured, we will not be using her photos for anything.
so don't be scared off by our terms of service. Enjoy Instagram. And as a general note, please stop taking photos of your penis. We've met our quota.
Welcome once again to the final edition's Parallel Universe Theater. Tonight, Hitch in Heaven. The date, irrelevant. The time, forever. The place, certainly not this plane of being. One of the final edition's non-American idols was Christopher Hitchens, who died of esophageal cancer 1 year ago on December 15th, 2011. Hitchens, an atheist and author of the massive bestseller God Is Not Great, did not believe in the afterlife. Well, the final edition Radio Hour has a scoop. Thanks to the staggering technological innovation of Virgin Celebrity Channeling, a division of Virgin Space Time, our Pepper Lewis has managed to locate and contact Christopher Hitchens.
Hello, Mr. Hitchens.
Oh, you startled me. Where did you spring from?
I'm here courtesy of Virgin Celebrity Channeling, a division of Virgin Space Time.
Branson always was a plutocrat with more hair than humility.
Are you surprised to find yourself on the other side, alive and well?
Dead and well, perhaps. I suppose on the principle that if one part of an intellectual construct is true, others may be too, this probably means I shall be here for a very long time.
You're a long time dead.
Not so. I expired in Houston, and a few minutes later arrived here after some rather tawdry special effects.
Such as?
Oh, the predictable warp speed plunge down a blindingly white birth canal. However, one advantage to this ludicrous state of being is that I can drink and smoke to my heart's content.
No esophageal cancer in heaven.
Indeed. I no longer have an esophagus, or heart. And while this is hardly heaven in the generally accepted sense, there appears to be an unlimited supply of my preferred smokes, and an actual fountain, with nymphs, of Johnny Walker Black Label.
So has this experience changed your mind at all about the supernatural?
Obviously, I was wrong about nymphs.
Any virgins?
Only Mother Teresa.
Oh, that must be awkward, considering your attacks on her.
It's quite fun to watch the old fraud wandering around frantically trying to find some dying poor people. The other day she went up to Gandhi and asked if he'd like a bowl of gruel. He struck her in the headgear with his staff.
I thought Gandhi espoused nonviolence.
Like most saints, she brings out the worst in people.
So, is this heaven? It doesn't look very heavenly, more like, well, Central Long Island.
It doesn't conform to any of the fairy stories told by organized religion. No warbling choirs of seraphim.
All right, you'll listen to The Inner Side. If you'd like to hear more Inner Side radio programs, simply Google The Inner Side. That was the final edition Radio Hour with a little bit of new stuff, a little bit of old stuff, a little bit of, you know, stuff from last year stuff, you know what I'm saying? You can check them out at thefinaledition.com. They got videos and audio and this radio stuff and some articles. Very hardcore stuff. Anyway. Happy New Year, everybody, and check out the new podcast. We got a new podcast with Sean Ewald, myself, and Joe Dixon. It's called Skeptiles, and we're at skeptiles.com, or you can search Skeptiles on iTunes or YourTunes or HerTunes or Stitcher or any of those things. So my name is Scooter, and I'll see you all next week.